Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bubba Show. I hope you all had a wonderful, relaxing Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, yesterday, Memorial Day. And, again, my hat's off and I salute all of my military personnel, past and present, active and non, and those of families who've lost loved ones, thank you again for allowing me to use my voice right here on the Bubba Show. But, of course, the markets were open yesterday electronically, as because we are now global. And, of course, we see many things happening, and, of course, the futures were higher, again, trying to press up to those new highs. And, you know, whether we get them or not, I don't know. I would not be surprised. I don't think that is the issue anymore. I think you might have seen, you know, the greed factor playing out here. You've got, you know, a lot of data this week that may or may not mean anything. Now, of course, if you know, if you listen to me long enough, you know that to me the data doesn't mean anything, because they're not data dependent anyways. As much as they lie and say that they are, they're really not. They're actually just clueless, and that's just what we have to go by. And, of course, we're talking about our good old friends at the money printing establishment, better known as the Federal Reserve. But another issue in play here these days is, of course, there's a lot of chatter about the OPEC meeting this weekend or this week. And, of course, I will say to you, BS. Who cares? Do we really care about OPEC? Do they have any meaning? And I contend that they do not. I contend that OPEC is no longer even valid. Okay, they can pump all the oil they want. Okay, we have in the good old U.S. of A. over a 100-year supply of oil that is easily gotten to, and that doesn't talk about ocean drilling or the areas and where they don't want us to go after oil. So, you know, there's not going to be, in my opinion, any meeting. They can shut down supplies all they want, for all I care. Okay, you know, we don't need their oil. We have enough. We can export our own oil. This is now, the game has changed. The market has changed, because we are not dependent, so we should not allow them, and nor will they be able to, hold us hostage as to their oil anymore. I think that becomes a big story overall, because, again, now our oil is our own. And, of course, you can see that we continue to shut down rigs and producing of oil. Why? Because we've got too much of it. So they want to create that shortage, okay, instead of the and keep prices higher, using the contention that, well, it costs them too much to get out of the ground, which that is always a questionable statement. You know, again, I can't prove one way or the other. I don't know, okay? But it is amazing how when prices get higher, we always end up getting all the oil we need. And it is amazing that all of the profits of all the oil companies continue to grow. Okay, so yes, the stocks go up and down and they get bothered by what's going on. But at the end of the day, I think it's, you look at the bottom line, you look at the profit and loss statement, and I haven't seen a lot of them losing a lot of real money. Okay, I don't see a lot of them closing down. Yes, some of the smaller, the wildcatter varieties, yeah, those guys could be in a little trouble. But remember, it's no different than the drug companies. You know, you got, when you're working on a shoestring budget and you hit the lottery, and then they, and you build into that lottery and then they take it away. You know, these businesses take a lot of cash to run. Okay, these businesses require they're very cash intensive. You know, very similar to farming. Okay, you know, you have to go spend if you're a fracker. Okay, or if you're a farmer, you have to go spend all your money. Okay, just to produce it. Okay, and then hope that prices are right for you and that you can make money versus, you know, you manufacture something that you get paid for in advance. There's a whole, the commodity world is a whole different world by itself. So, you know, if you are a fracker and you've decided that, you know, the demand is so great and prices are so good and profit is so good, you're willing to pay more to get it out of the ground as fast as you can. But then all of a sudden you find out that, uh-oh, we're overpaying because prices are dropping. And now maybe technically or in theory, they're below our cost, which, again, I don't know. I can't say to a certainty, but I can say that, again, when you're smaller and you're trying to do something versus, like, I will say that the majors have no problems in this market. Okay, I will say that the majors will continue to make money. I will say that the big guys don't really care, and probably quietly, privately in their own meetings are probably happy for the chance to take away competition. So to them, this is more of a benefit than a bust, okay? Because they can, if they're really not making money, which it has not been proven yet, but if they're really not making money, then they can withstand a longer period of time than somebody who has no money. So it's amazing how things always come back to the same item. If you've got enough to withstand, then you don't have a problem because you can outlast the time. If you're working short, okay, and you're on the shoestring, so to speak, well, then you have a much bigger problem. So, you know, this is the same in farming. You know, when, you know, a big farmer lays out millions of dollars to bring that crop in. Well, what if something goes wrong on the way? This is why that hedging, especially as a producer, is the key, because you can lock in higher prices. Okay. This is the thing I could never understand when I hear companies complain about the dollar, you know, too strong of a dollar overseas. Well, but that's a hedgeable commodity, okay? The currency is hedgeable. I could never understand why airlines, but they do now, but why they didn't hedge their oil before, okay? Because now, you know, they are hedging it, and they're realizing that now they're making profits on a regular basis, okay? Southwest Airlines has done it for years. So this is the magic of the market and learning how to use the markets correctly in your favor versus anything else. And this is what we always have to try to understand, okay, that if you put yourself in the correct position, you allow yourself the great opportunity to be more successful, okay? And that is a bigger deal. Because again, if you can guarantee what you're going to receive, then that tells you what your fixed cost is to produce. So it's a pretty simple equation, and I know most know, which is why I always question when they tell me it costs more, because there are certainly ways to avoid those problems, and I find it a little bit disturbing as usual. But this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we love coming to you, and again, we wish you a happy Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, we also want to remind you, our friends at Thinkorswim, tomorrow's swim lessons are the anatomy and mechanics of the calendar spread and options. Okay, they've got swim lessons from 11:30 to 1 Eastern time. They've got, technically speaking, from 1 to 1:30 Eastern time. And the plunge from 1:30 to 2:30. So make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim. They're on the Bubba Show on the website. You can also email me if you have any questions. In the meantime, if you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you every show. Download it. You can listen to it and be part of the over 200,000 people that are listening to it now. For now, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. Bubba Show. Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day, and welcome back. And, you know, I don't know. I got a whole bunch of thoughts that I've been just thinking, and, you know, maybe you're thinking them too. And, you know, if we're trying to really grow the economy, what the hell is with this ridiculous tax code for small business? Can anybody out there explain to me what they're trying to do? I mean, it appears to me, and I've said this before, that they have no interest in small guys. It appears to me that they're trying to gobble up or destroy all the small. I mean, if you look around, and forget about the tax code for a minute, but if you look around just in business in general, okay, Walmart has basically destroyed all the small retailers, okay, and the manufacturers, because, you know, what they do is they grab somebody and they get them all excited about how, oh, you're going to be a supplier to Walmart. You got to manufacture these goods, and we're going to take, of course, 90 days to pay for it. You got to pay for it in France, but we're going to take 90. So really what they're doing is they're creating money, and then when they get it done, they just go manufacture the product themselves, and out you go. And then, of course, we've now got Amazon taking the online world and a lot of the brick-and-mortar world. So basically, you know, we've got two general retailers left. I mean, yes, there's others, don't get me wrong, but again, they're recognized names, and again, they're trying to be the only two, and I think they're going to battle to see who's going to be the only one left, okay? And then, of course, we've got the banking business, okay, and we've got the big banks, and of course, there's banking all over the place, but every small bank either gets put out of business or swallowed up, and we end up with more big banks, some more too big to fail. So I guess we're really not interested in creating small business and creating more jobs, because every time we get one of these big banks or one of these big companies to swallow up a smaller company, well, guess what happens? Okay, the opportunity for a small business to come in gets reduced. They get, as usual, they get it stuck up the yin-yang, because, again, that's the way things go. As they say, the way the cookie crumbles. Okay, and we lose jobs. Okay, now, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're looking around and, you know, you hear the Fed talk and how much better things are going, and they're going to raise. And trust me, I hope they raise. I'm all for an interest rate rise, because I believe that it's better for the overall economy that we get a raise. Because I believe that the only way we can get small business back in is to have higher interest rates. So I'm all on board with that. But, of course, most aren't. And that's a problem. Okay. But then we have the geniuses calling for $4,500 in gold. Now, I don't have a problem with thinking that gold can go to $4,500. Okay. I'm not saying that it can't go there. Okay. But isn't there a lot of logical stops before it would get the... Now, what schmuck would call for $4,500 gold? Of course, the schmuck is the one who is trying to sell some type of product to go along with it. Okay? That's the one who's trying to create the illusion that we might go to $4,500. I mean, do you remember when they were calling for Apple at $1,000 before it went back to $350? You know, again, I'm not saying that it never will go to $4,500. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of levels between $1,200 and $4,500 that certainly you'd be willing to sell before we got there. And, you know, whether or not it gets there, and that's what bothers me, is the fear or the action that you try to create when they've got a product for sale. Okay? And, you know, I see a market that the bears are starting to turn bullish. They're getting extremely frustrated with the trying to be short. So the bears looks like they may be turning the corner to the bull side, which would be another indication that a top is near. Okay. And again, I'm not predicting the top. I'm just, you know, I'm giving you things that we look at. Okay. Because the flow of money will determine, obviously, always where we're going to go. And then it's funny, though, but, you know, Shinzo Abe, okay, at the G7 meeting, they want more stimulus. They want more monetary policy. They want more control. Haven't we gone through this before? Are we again? You know, hearing the same things, the same stupid, ridiculous stuff over again. I mean, have they not learned that what they're doing does not work? Okay, but yet they're going to clamor for it. And again, to me, every time we let them, and we don't have much choice right now because of the way the system lays out, but every time we let them devalue or take advantage, we're getting the benefit of paying the hidden tax of inflation, the hidden tax of less value to your own dollars, but you're also giving up more control. And to me, that is a bigger issue as the central banks, in my opinion, try to turn us into a bunch of socialists as they glom on to all the money. Okay. Which, you know, brings us to the fiat currency, which I think if you ever believed it was had value, and again, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other of all time, but since I've been more involved in it recently, I can say what I see now is not what I would like to see. It is not something that is good. I don't think it's good for anybody except for those who want to take advantage of it. And to me, that becomes another problem. So, you know, we have mounting problems that I see. But in the meantime, quietly, the big guys, Sam Zell and guys like him, are selling their real estate. Okay. Worried. I mean, we see some areas that are at record prices again. Okay. Now, my area, unfortunately, in my area, that's not the case. Otherwise, I'd be selling. Okay. Unfortunately, that isn't the case in my area. Okay. But it is the case in a lot of areas, and a lot of guys are starting to quietly sell. Okay. And, you know, what problem is that, that, you know, when the big guys are starting to sell, that means they're feeling the pinch or some pain, and that will most likely create another problem. Okay. Now, the big question is what is the jobs number going to be on Friday? Does it matter? And will the Fed raise rates? Actually, it was three questions, not one. So in order, okay, the jobs number will probably be okay. I mean, the Fed already knows what the job number is, and they're sticking hawkishly, which means they think they want to tighten. So they're saying that they believe that the number is good. Now, again, they've already seen it, okay? You know, it's not like it's a number that suddenly gets put out. It only gets put out to the media then, but it's already out. I mean, the people who know already, okay? So they're still hawkish, which means they believe that the market can support higher interest rates. So if it's a bad number, okay, which obviously I don't think it will be, then you would see a market rally based on the fact that the low money would stay here. But does the quarter point really mean anything? And I think the answer is no. I don't think the quarter point means jack. Okay, again, I'd love to see rates higher. I think they need to go higher. I think we need to get the velocity of money turning again. But at the end, okay, it doesn't really have a factor, I think, because I think that we need higher interest rates to see markets move. And I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about the jobs. I'm talking about entrepreneurs. So I think that, you know, hopefully they'll be forced or compelled to raise, because the only way that liquidity will ever get freed up for the average guy on the road will be if the banks start lending again. And they're not going to be lending down here. We've already witnessed it for 7 years. Okay. They're giving it to their good buddies. They're giving it to the very rich, but they're not giving it to you and me. Okay. And that's an issue. So I ask you, you know, all of these questions, because again, I don't ever like to create fear or panic. I just like to explain in a calm demeanor what's going on. Okay. Again, I'm not looking for either direction. I would say the market probably will make new highs. I can't understand why, but I can't stop it either. And that's always the thing that we have to measure, is what does it mean? And, you know, the economy and the Wall Street are not related. Okay. We can pretend that they are, but they're really not. Okay. So, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see what happens, but we're going to get some answers from our guy, Mike McClone, who'll be here after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge every day. We enjoy it. We want you to take benefit of it. And for now, we're going to stop by here a break, and we'll be back with Bloomberg Intelligence, Mike McClone, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. We will be right back.
You're so delicious. You're so...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. It's time for the one, the only, very talented, and now of Bloomberg Intelligence, our guy, Mike McClone. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Well, hello, Todd. Thanks for having me back, and happy June.
Happy June. It's, you know, I tell you, the time is flying. So is the money, and here we are running back up towards the tops again. And, of course, you know, yesterday on Memorial Day, the futures were open, if you know, for those who don't realize it, and they were higher, and you know, we just go gold. Gold has become worthless. The stock market's worth more than ever. And we just keep on rolling. And of course, we've got the big old jobs number on Friday. And, you know, we've got the talk of the tightening. And of course, we know that the Fed already knows what the jobs number is already. I mean, it's not like it's a secret. You know, they've got the information. And, you know, what's your take, big boy?
Well, the Fed is going to tighten just by being an ex-bond trader and listening to what they said. They're going to tighten, and sooner probably than the market thinks. And I think there's only one key thing that might dissuade them, or one primary factor that might persuade them from tightening, and that would be a substantial decline in the stock market, because anything else is very much backward-looking and revised GDP, and the last unemployment number was somewhat weak. This next one might come back a little bit, although I heard this next one might be somewhat weak because of the Verizon workers. But they'll just, you know, factor it away and say, look at the long-term trend. And they are, just look at the Fed rhetoric this last few weeks. It's been completely consistent. Even when Janet Yellen spoke on Friday, there was a few prominent bond people who said she'd be dovish. And I had no understanding of why they would have said that, because when the Fed gets consistent like this, they usually are and stay that way. And they have been, after that March, you know, meeting where Yellen was a little bit dovish, was only because the stock market's collapsed. They've been consistently hawkish, and they're going to stick with that party game until told not to. So I think that's what's happening. The issue is the stock market's given the green go. The stock market's continued to go up. It's basically saying, go ahead, tighten. And the stock market, I think, knows they're on a slow pace. And the stock market going up, I believe, is still, it's a wonderful thing for all of us and for all of our well-being and everybody else. But it's just, I just don't know how much longer it can last.
Bullshit.
How much longer we can live in that little fantasy world.
Bullshit. All right. So that it is not good for our well-being. It's very bad for our well-being. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. But okay, so What was your interpretation of the GDP number? You brought it up, so let's talk about that. That was a pretty awful again. What's your take?
What was kind of surprising is the estimate was it would come out at back revised up at 0.9%. It came out 0.8%, but the only thing that really seemed to hit the headline, it was revised up from 0.5%, which was the initial estimate. And that's one thing about GDP numbers is, you know, I always looked at them as a bond trader. It's like, thank you, they create volatility, but they really are so completely revised. They're really insignificant until sometimes almost a year later. So I don't really make much of it. I've made more, I've really got more information. To me, the more important thing to focus on is what the Fed has been saying, and they have been consistently, they will tighten. The only question is whether they go to the June meeting or the July meeting. And so GDP to me is unfortunately somewhat insignificant. Now we're all looking at, you mentioned our last show is estimates for Q2 GDP, which most people I think are around 2%.
Now, you're saying that they're going to tighten, and you're looking at the markets. Now, I look at the stock market thinking that the stock market really doesn't believe that they're going to tighten. You're saying the opposite. You're saying that the stock market is accepting the fact that they're going to tighten and it doesn't really matter. So would you believe that, or do you think that I'm right and the stock market isn't a believer yet?
Hey, I think the stock market is basically giving the Fed the green go to tighten. They've been warned. And I think the stock market's well aware this is going to be a slow, gradual pace. But, you know, what happens in the aftermath, who knows? But for now, just by the fact that they've been completely hawkish and the stock market's gone up, is a green go to tighten.
And, of course, based on what I'm looking at, the strength of the dollar indicates that they're going to tighten. The weakness of gold indicates that they're going to tighten. Bonds are still a little bit shaky as far as whether or not they believe or not. Now, I haven't looked at the Fed funds rate lately, but I'm sure they're pricing it in. So, in your opinion, they raise, and it's either June or July. If they're going to raise, it'll probably be June. I don't know why they would wait till July. But does that, in your mind, then have an effect on the equity market after they finally do raise?
Well, I could do what happened last time. It is really, as you pointed out last time we spoke, it's the slow time of year. I think it's going to be a decent factor. But one thing I like to watch in Fed funds is, we watch the futures. Their price are basically a one-third probability that they'll tighten at the June meeting and about a 50% probability they'll tighten at the July meeting. But I think if this unemployment number is strong, which comes out this Friday, and the stock market continues to go up, there's really, like you said, there's really no reason for them not to go in June. Just go get it over with. But one thing I like to watch is I like to watch the Fed funds futures a year ahead, so 12 months from now. And right now they're priced for Fed fund futures to be 0.87%, which is basically 0.90%. At the beginning of the year, that was the same. And right now, Fed funds are 0.38%. So they're priced for 50 basis points of tighten over the next 12 months, which is not a lot. But it's still, to me, that's a wonderful situation. I really hope that can happen with the stock market not collapsing and the economy not really rolling over to a recession, and it still seems to be a bit of a dream. That's why I'm still sticking with, you know, the best, I think the value positions remain against consensus, and they've actually still been the best performers this year. The stock market's essentially unchanged over the last 18 months, but gold is up, bonds are way up, silver's up, precious metals have done very well, and, you know, it's not so bad being in cash when things are collapsing.
No, I agree with that. Now, so When I look at this and I go, okay, now I'm looking at it from the other side of the coin now. I don't want to get your opinion here, okay? I believe that screw the stock market for the time being. I mean, look, if a guy's a short-term trader, then he doesn't care one way or the other. And if you're in for the long-term haul, okay, the long-term investment, then you know you're going to get sell-offs and collapses and, you know, back and forth. And as long as you understand it, you're set up properly, or you're putting the proper asset classes, you know, as you like to say, or hedge the way I like to say, it really doesn't matter. And for the overall economy, for the country, it would be much better to get the rates going higher, because what that'll really do is when we get high enough, we can actually free up liquidity, which would then truthfully bring back real jobs, not the crap they try to tell us they're bringing back. It would actually bring back entrepreneurs, because it would free up bank lending, which we're not seeing right now. So the short-term sell-off in the market that we may or may not get, but, you know, I assume we'll get it because I think we're due for it anyways. But the short-term sell-off in the market, which the Fed keeps propping up because of that, higher interest rates would actually be a boom to the economy over time, because that would allow more lending. It would make the banks actually stronger. It would bring more people in. It would be more entrepreneurs in, and then that would create better jobs. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a key factor, but it has to come in a certain sequence. And the way I look at it, and it's actually most econometric models, is higher rates are a result of a booming economy. And the Fed will raise rates as they expect inflation to pick up, demand pull inflation to be a factor, and for, you know, just demand of capital pick up. And the number one key place to look for that ahead of, you know, to look for that preliminary indicator is the U.S. government bond market. Higher interest rates are a rate the Fed sets, but higher yields, bond yields, are the number one thing that should indicate that the Fed should be tightening and the economy is expanding and there's demand for capital and there's inflation picking up. And that's the key thing that I've been really focusing on for the last more than 2 years, is the U.S. government bond market has been telling us the opposite. Yields have been declining. So my key point is, when the Fed raises rates and when yields are declining, that's a really bad sign. They should not really be aggressive raising rates until they see yields going up, which should be their sign that, okay, things are picking up, the economy's moving organically, and here it's time for you to start raising rates. They should be well behind the curve. Now they're trying to be ahead of the curve against one of these preliminary indicators, and I would love to be considered wrong in all these bond suggestions I've been making, because that would mean the economy is doing well. But for the last 2 years, it's been one of the best places to invest is a long-term U.S. government bond market. And by the way, it's been one of the most against the consensus positions that I remember in history. Remember the example I told you, which was shorter term, was 1998.
Well, now this is where you and I have to disagree a little bit. And this is where you and I have to talk about, you know, the theory of an economist versus the actual real life work of real people, because economists are totally backwards. They have no freaking idea what's going on, and they don't know until it's too late. Now, we don't have any inflation that they say, but of course, when I go to the gas pump, my gas is now up another 25% in my food. And I know we don't count food and energy because it doesn't count. So why would you want to count the stuff that you have to pay for every day? You know, that to me is another, the entire system is backwards. That's my opinion, because I think that they are not very good at their job. That's my opinion. Again, I'm not putting words in Mike's mouth, and we're going to get ready to go to a break here, and he's going to answer us when we come back. I'm not putting any words in your mouth. I just don't think that they have a clue. I think that Paul Volcker said it best, that we have no idea what's going on until it's too late, and it's the fact is over. Whether they're trying to get ahead or not, I know from simple business that if lenders can't borrow money, then they aren't going to have the ability to build a business and bring in new people and hire new people. So we're going to continue with these crappy jobs that we're seeing right now. And to me, that's a bigger problem over time, because that will not bring together the overall economy. And that is one of my problems. This is the Bubba Show. I am with my guy from Bloomberg Intelligence, Mike McClone, starting soon. And we're so happy for him, because he does bring so much good stuff to hear. Remember, if you ever miss an episode of the Bubba Show, go to libertytalk.fm and you can download it. We're just over 225,000 and looking to get to 300,000. Actually, we're looking to get to 1 million, but I got to go in small pieces. So make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show. Also, go to bubbatrading.com and you can and see what we're doing. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Top of Boards. We're going to stop out here for a break. We will be right back at the break with more from Mike McClone, the Bubba Show.
I was proud.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my guy, Bloomberg's Intelligence, Mike McClone. I can't wait to see you on air. Then I can start tweeting madly at you too, getting angry. All right, so I gave you a big mouthful before we went to break, and I don't agree at all with the Federal Reserve, and I don't mean their decision whether they raise or not. From my perspective, the only way to get out of this mess is to raise rates, slowing economy or not, because the real truth, the reason, in my opinion, the reason the economy sucks is because nobody can borrow any money, which means that there's no real business going on. And it just, to me, it's a whole chain of events from the other side. What do you say?
Well, I think we need to put this in a little more global context. The global economy is really shifting down And there's significant indications everywhere. The Baltic Dry Freight Index is collapsing, not collapsing, but down a lot. Global trade is down a lot. Last year, global vehicle sales were down to only 2%. They should be really around 4 to 5% when the economy is growing around 3% globally. So we're just part of the cog in the wheel. And we're actually one of the best horses in this slaughterhouse, except, you know, China's saying they're growing around 6%. But, you know, we're a little more realistic, and we're hanging in there. Let's look at Europe. Let's look at Japan, the major continents, even continents. Canada's having big problems, and Mexico's not, you know. So we're doing okay. The problem is this is global, it's structural, and it's going to last a while. And I think the issue is now we're kind of stuck. We all know we want the Fed, not number once, number, the key thing is we want them to get off of zero. They know it, they said it. But to start a regular historic rate, we'd call it a rate rally cycle, we used to call it in the when we're trading bonds, is when the Fed's in a tightening cycle. To start one and be consistent and stick with it is very unusual in this environment when all the preliminary indicators, the win in the sale indicators, which like bond yields, are heading the other way. And that, to me, is what I find very scary. Now, they need to get off zero. I get that. But to really get rates to 2%, and that's rates, the Fed rates, you need bond yields around 4%. You need at least a steep curve. And the thing is, it's doing the opposite. And that's what I find the scariest thing about what's happening is this is not happening the way it's ever done in history. Virtually, the last, you know, the key time the Fed really had it started its tightening cycle was June of 2004. And bond yields were higher, I think around 4%, and they're going up for the previous 6 to 12 months. That was an indication, okay, it's time to go. Now it's the opposite. I think that's where we're in that stuck situation. I keep thinking, oh, I hope we can get out of this without a major, as you use the word, discombobulation in the markets. And that's where I keep looking for where's the value. And I just don't see value in the stock market. But hey, last few weeks, it's been wonderful. The fact it's going up, and when the Fed's going to tighten, just can we expect that to last? Probably not.
Discombobulation. Whenever I talk to you, I need a dictionary. All right. Anyways, now, again, okay, so we're not quite in agreement there. Now, you've been around a long time. You're an analyst. You've been a trader. Why is it that they don't count food and energy as part of inflation, okay? You know, they'll count the computer that you buy. I don't know how often you buy a computer these days, but, you know, obviously electronics and those products keep coming down. I mean, you know, what really counts in inflation? I mean, to me, inflation is when I got to pay more money for the same goods. That's inflation. I know my expenses are higher than they were last year. So what's inflation? Explain it to me, will you please?
I've always loved that question, and I remember being a bond trader 20 years ago and longer than that, actually, and hearing it. And we used to make fun of it on the floor, and the typical response is, and even Ben Bernanke said this in book, and his book is, people will say to the, hey, don't you people at the Fed eat or actually use heat or anything? And the response is purely academic and economic, and that's the most volatile sector in most of the inflation areas is food and energy, and we get it. That's the most important thing, but it's volatile. It's not the core part of what they would claim, and I don't want to defend the economists. I always like to say, I mean, I don't want to switch the subject too much, but that's what they say. I always like to look forward, and that's why I try to go to things that you can't really explain away, and that's why I keep coming back to the government bond market. If there was inflation picking up, then that should be showing up first in bond yields, and it's not.
Well, so again, so the we still have a mess, but yet they want to raise. But of course, I'm from the school they should raise. Of course, they missed their opportunity with your buddy, the book writer, a while ago. You know, I can't stand them. So I can't stand any of them. And you know what? I'm really tired of being involved. I mean, I'm really to a point that I think the Federal Reserve, I don't know if they ever had any value, but they've lost their value. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, no, I think the market is starting to agree with you in many places, not just the Federal Reserve, but central banks across the world. And that, to me, is what's part of the happen with this. I don't, maybe it's a paradigm shift this year. What's happening with the increase in yields and prices for gold and silver? People are starting to say, okay, we want something that's an alternative to fiat currencies that are really guided by Federal Reserve banks and not just by central banks. So I think the market's agreeing with you. I'd rather say, well, I agree with the market so far. And I look at it as more of a strategist trying to help myself and our listeners and everybody I know to be somewhat of a fiduciary, trying to help us make money in this environment and not get hurt. And that's why I say, well, the market's telling us this, let's go with it. And one thing the market's been saying is you probably should be concluding, increasing your diversification, overweighting assets and things like gold, silver, and treasury bonds, partly because of what's happening in, and people are starting to lose credibility with central banks. And I think that's part of the main reason for Trump's presidency. I mean, most of us are shocked he got this far. It's just people are so sick of, you know, the typical lawyer speak you hear from most politicians. You're not getting that from Mr. Trump. They want something different that they can trust.
No, I agree with that. I mean, he has a resonating message. And not only that, but everybody who knows anything about Trump knows he's a center guy. He's a more brash, pompous version of Ronald Reagan. He's down the middle. He's no way is he way right, and there's no way he's way left. He's down the middle, and that really gives him a down the middle guy who says kind of what people want to hear, allows it. Now, in your opinion, a little bit off topic, but in your opinion, can a guy like Donald Trump, I mean, I think he's going to win, okay? Can a guy like that really affect true change in the way that we do things right now? Because we really do have an overall disaster, which obviously if it's a political disaster, it leads down to an economic disaster eventually because of the way they do things. Can a guy like this really do something to affect the change in Congress and in the Senate and in the entire system? Or are we just kidding ourselves? What's your opinion?
Not too much, but you mentioned Reagan. The Reagan and Thatcher Revolution did do a lot. They merely turned us around and say the free market economies and free market capitalism is really the way to go. Unfortunately, it's not the best system, but find a better one. But I think one thing, you know, I've come to terms with having I'm a Republican. I didn't like Trump, but I'm coming to terms with having to probably vote for him, partly because I think, well, the guy's a good businessman. As much as people might not agree with him, much as people like you and I might not like him as a person, whatever, he's just got to admit he's been a successful businessman. Now, I'd love Bloomberg as a potential president, but he's not going to work. So might as well go back to the classic old factor that what's the business of America? It's actually business. Let's just get back to our roots. And that's part of the reason the whole country was founded, so people can come over here, and a lot of immigrants didn't have it, just a chance to make it by working hard. Let's get back to the business of business, and I think that's one thing Trump might be bringing back, hopefully bringing back to us a little bit, that Reagan brought back a little bit.
No, and I agree with you. Again, look, you and I both want the same thing, and if Bernie Sanders could make the world better and take care of everybody, I wouldn't care. All I want is the free market capitalistic system in which you and I grew up in, okay, because that's really, at the end of the day, that gives everybody a fair and equal opportunity to succeed. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I just have this, sometimes I'm afraid of that situation. We're supposed to, punish people who do and really help people that don't. And yes, people who can't need help, but we need to really support people who do. And that's kind of the Republican way. We can't suppress people. We have to help people who can't, but we cannot reward people who don't or won't. And that's, to me, is just pure capitalism. And, that's one thing, the problem with socialism is you're never going to really move forward.
And I agree with Mike McClone. And those are the words, according to Mike McClone. Bloomberg Intelligence, again, I got to congratulate you. I'm so happy for you once again. This is Mike McClone. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and this you're with Mike McClone. You got to catch him. I can't wait to get his show time because we're going to start harassing him on Bloomberg Intelligence. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. You can download all the shows, including The Sporting Edge every weekend. Make sure you check it out, as well as go check out bubbatrading.com. We've got a lot of great programs we're doing. We're kind of taking some time off in the summer, but we want to get you prepared for hedging and for futures and for the rest of it. But for today, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks. Wake up,
Maggie. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.